Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
I can't do everything. I can't produce the show. Add a bit of humour to the show and actually a few insights into footy.
Saw a strange man wandering around the back of the media centre here in a St Kilda outfit, Spud.
Oh, no.
Had all the St Kilda gear on.
Oh, I'll have a look at Spud.
What he thinks he is.
Oh, no. Look at him.
Spud's just attired in the full St
he's
Kilda.
He's got the Saints polo on.
He's been to the merchandise shop.
Have a go at him. Just strutting around like a peacock.
Fun. He is. Looking
at us now. How you going? Yeah, we're in here, you're out there. Because we're number one.
Today, we pay tribute to our mate Danny Frawley, one of the most entertaining and loved figures in the history of Triple M footy. Coming up, you'll hear some of our favourite Spud moments on Triple M and some tributes from his mate Michael Roberts, colleagues Eddie Maguire and Luke Darcy, and former Richmond and Collingwood player Andrew Cracker. We hope that while we all cope with the shock and grief of Danny's passing, the next couple of hours can give you something to smile about as we remember one of our mates. Thank you, Spud.
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
On Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Eddie Maguire and Luke Darcy shared their memories of what Danny Frawley meant to them as a colleague and a mate.
It's such a small industry, our industry, that you're linked together, you know, in so many different ways. And you know, every time you were around Spud, you just lit up the environment that you're in. I think sometimes, you know, I remember the first time walking into the Triple M box and it was larger than life. It was full of personality, but it was actually full of a lot of care that was misunderstood sometimes. And 99% of the humour was always aimed within the four walls. It was never about, trying to upset people outside of that. It was just the inner workings of a football club and that footy club humour that I love. I grew up on that. But if you were in trouble, people like Danny Frawley put their arm around you, and you know, everyone at the moment wants to put their arm around the Frawley family, and very hard to get the words out, Ed, to be honest with you, to articulate how we feel about it, because it's as sad as it gets. You know, there's so many tragic things happen in life, but this one's as hit all of us in the industry as hard as I can remember.
Yeah, and your point, Darcy, about how the footy world is, it's a funny game. I mean, people who listen to our show listen to it because of the same sort of banter we have with each other, and it is. I find football, I remember when I first got involved as president of Collingwood, I said to Carla, you're going to meet some of the best people you'll ever meet in life in this circle of people. You know, there'll be some heartache and some sacrifice along the way, but you'll meet some really, really great people. And that's what keeps all of us in it. It's the love of the game. It's why, you know, we're still hanging around footy clubs and young blokes coming through and now young women. It's great. It's extended all the way through. And you're right. I think people sometimes on the outside don't quite get the love and respect that's in there. And it's moments like this where everybody's completely shattered. And I agree with your point as well. Today is really tough. And it's probably only when you start actually saying the words into the microphone that it really hits you, because yesterday we all received the news and we all rang each other. And, you know, in many occasions you had to break the news to people who were really close friends of Danny. And you wanted to be the person to tell somebody in your circle rather than they hear it on the news and it was getting out on Instagram and all the social medias and things like that. And, you know, I had to ring Tony Shaw, for example, who was his coach. They were coaching partners when I was at Den at Collingwood. Danny was one of the greatest St Kilda people ever. And then he came to Collingwood and he was a phenomenal Collingwood person. He grew up barracking for the Pies. He was related to Des Tudnham, as, you know, the whole Ballarat community are. But at St Kilda, he was the captain before he was captain of the Ballarat crew. He was the young guy who was pulling together people like Greg Burns and Joffa Cunningham and Fader Cunningham and even Robbie Muir, and who was an older player by that stage, but particularly Tony Lockett, and bringing them down. And I got to know him through our mutual great friend Trevor Barker, whose death had a profound effect on both of us as well. And then he came to Collingwood. Then, of course, was the Richmond. And, you know, Darcy, I'll never forget one of the more amazing broadcasts I've ever been involved in was the night that Danny Frawley at Richmond, when we had the cameras as much trained on his family during that horrible period where the week before he'd been spat at by the crowd, and the emotion building into it. And that's what I think I go back to in the last 24 hours, was just how strong his family was. I mean, to see his father there, and when Danny came through to see him just turn to the crowd and see Anita and his brothers and his family and his sisters and his dad and his mum and hugging them. And you could see that sense of support from the whole Ballarat and particularly the Frawley clan. And that's what Spud was. And that's what he did. He offered his hand and his hug every time he saw you in one way, whether it was he was hanging it on you for something stupid you'd done during the week, or, you know, the last time I saw him was Saturday night in at Fox Footy. I was hosting the last game, Darce, and he came in, was about to do bounce, and as always, he came over, gave me a hug, shook my hand and said, well done last night, tell Bucks and the boys, you know, good luck and go all the way. And he was so generous. He just was really, every time you saw him, he gave everything to you. You walked away having been enriched by his experience.
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
As part of Triple M's Saturday Rub, Danny Frawley, along with JB, BT, Gary Lyon and Damien Barrett, would take every opportunity to take the mickey out of each other. And in 2015, Purple uncovered a massive story about Spud.
I want to go back two Thursday nights ago. So not the one just gone, but the one prior to that.
Yeah,
two Thursday.
Yeah.
Do you know where you may have been?
Fair idea.
Okay, well, I'll tell you where you were. Yeah. You're at the Bridge Road Imaging Clinic's launch.
Yeah, Grand Dr. Rowan White's new setup across the road from the Epworth there.
It was a who's who of the medical world, and there was hardly anyone from football in there. There was one person from football in there.
Oh, don't tell me Dr. Frawley wanted it.
And there was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. There was a man who is the chairman of Australia's greatest and strongest private health firm, worth $4.5 billion. There were doctors flown in. There were doctors flown in from around the country. We're talking, Gary, it's a who's who of the medical world. There were three guest speakers on the night.
And?
Two medical people. There was also a third person who was introduced to the crowd as Dr. Daniel Frawley. Now look me in the eye. Is that true?
Spud.
Sort of.
Spud.
Sort of.
Can you do this, Spud?
You can't be introduced as a doctor.
Now,
the girl from Sydney has got no idea of AFL footy.
Spud.
The invite's come down from Sydney, JB.
Spud.
What was I to do?
Get that bloody trumpet and get it over here.
What you should do. I ain't a doctor, Spud.
Did you speak to the gathering as one of three keynote speakers?
I was the keynote speaker.
Having been introduced as Dr. Daniel Frawley.
Mine was the plenary speech of the night. I was all about... Mate, it was.
And not just for the 10-minute speech you gave, which I heard was a bit glass-eyed, by the way, but
in the
subsequent mingling amongst the guests after the speech, did you at any stage seek to correct the fact that you weren't a doctor?
No, I didn't.
And did you engage yourself with doctors in conversations about medicine?
Tools! He's grabbed hold of the warrior! Oh, no! He's pounding into the warrior!
Jim,
poor old Purple! He's being sat on as we speak!
While those two punch on, let me just deal with this, right?
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
The first time... No. This is very serious.
Oh, it's not serious.
Impersonating a doctor, that's fraud. The first time I understand it, because some poor lady went, he must be a doctor. Spud, you can't go...
Talking about rotator cuffs and soleus and posterior crucis...
I was introduced and I had my first line just embedded in my brain.
I'll give you your first line. I'm not a doctor.
But I practiced in front of all these
Spud
intellectual people, and I must admit, I didn't hear it properly.
That's an indictable offence, Spud. You now a two-time offender.
That's also known as fraud. Jim, at what stage do you reckon the Nobel Peace Prize and the bloke that invented the plastic hip?
Yeah, that's
it. After Spud being over 2 minutes, they would turn to each other and go, spoke a doctor.
They hand him out easy down here. Takes us 8 years in the States.
I must admit, I spoke to Peter Gregg, the chairman of the Primary Health, but $4.5 billion. He said, where did you study? And I said to him, look, I've just got to go and have another drink. What would you like to drink, Peter?
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
Once a year on the Saturday Rub, the boys would take the time to give each other an honest assessment of where they might improve. It was called 360-degree feedback. In 2012, Spud took aim at everyone.
Well, JB, your new name is Tickets. You've got a bigger scrap than Mick Jagger at the moment.
It is just unbelievable. You're more worried about getting first class on your flight over there. What about your team, your underlings, your team man? You've got to lead by example. 2 years ago, you said, boys, someone got out of this box and he demanded he get a car pass, a blue ticket. We get two a week. There's four here. There's five of us. There's five on a Friday night. Not once in the last 2 years. Ash has done over 700 games. He's had one ticket. How he doesn't get one? Not once have I seen your car hit the grass at the MCG. Not once. Now, if that's leading by example, I'll go he.
Very good point.
And was that it?
No, at coffee last night. You talk about leading by example. Make three coffees. And you bring two in, one for yourself, one for Gaz. I'm sitting there like a bowl of chop leader. Oh, yes, Spud, yours are still outside. So if that's a leader, I will go he.
Right.
The other thing is, your brother's 40th. Any chance you can ring him just at some stage?
Oh, no.
He tries to ring for a couple of footy tickets. He's got to ring your older brother to get footy tickets. Oh, no, but if it was Punter or Demetrio or Wolf or Ed or Gil McLaughlin, I'll get right back to you, boys. Wolf, you're the ultimate double agent, mate. You're getting Foss last night, for example, fire bullets at the Channel 7 team, and then running into those very same guys that you got Foss to fire the bullets, got in the lift. Keep up the good work, lads, and that, it goes a bit further. That the Twitter page, no one actually gets to get the tablet because it's all about. I'll make sure you throw Spud under the bus and JB and Warrior, and do not put a photo on that to producers unless I approve it myself. Then the quiz. Then you've got the Wolf and Chewer show. It's all about making you look good. I saw it last night for the first time. Now, sure, when I throw this explanation, you hit with that stat, and it'll really round up what I'm saying. And this production meeting for the listeners at home goes on for 5 minutes. And just before they go on air now, Chua, get it right. It's all about me. I was just staggered. Purple, we've got a really good segment here that's been going for 3 or 4 years, and you've been fantastic. Bombworthy. Grenades. Even started this year on the Thursday night footy show. Round one, two, three. It's my time. Standing up there with your own big, you know, and pointing. Had really good, you know. Then it just sort of just dissipated a little bit. Round 6 and 10, we brought Warrior in now and again. And then, you know, round 11 and 12. Where's Warrior? I'm waiting up at 11 o'clock. Nothing around there. Mate, you're like my rusty rifle on the farm. You just can't fire at the moment. People have had a gutful. Travis Pike is out of contract. 300 billion Chinese don't give a stuff. They know he's out of contract. Bring something else to the table.
Got an update for you. Go ahead, JB. Travis Cloak, out of contract. Travis Cloak has got the sign.
Oh, no.
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
Former Richmond player Andrew Cracker spoke to Triple M's Hot Breakfast about how Danny Frawley helped him through one of the darkest periods of his life.
Oh, mate, he meant a hell of a lot, Ed. He, you know, through before me getting picked up by Richmond, I've sort of been well publicised that I, you know, didn't have too many father figures. I didn't have a father figure and too many positive role models growing up. And, you know, Danny Frawley was certainly one of those. He took a punt on a kid that, you know, my preparation wasn't ideal to be playing AFL footy, but he saw something in me and he didn't know me too personally. He just sort of would have seen me around, running around at St Kilda change rooms, being a former teammate of my old man, and saw something that he liked and he took a massive punt on me. So for Spud to mould me into an AFL player and help me become an AFL player and understand what was required to make it at the level, he was enormous for me and very special man. It's you know, it's horrendously sad news of his passing, Ed, and you know that photo that you're talking about in 2004, round one. I actually just lost a close brother of mine. At a young age, and he unfortunately passed away in a car accident, and that Friday night. Excuse me, mate.
Yeah, no worries, mate. Take it easy.
That Friday was his funeral, and I was going to go, but I knew that he loved me playing footy, and he'd always talk about, you know, possibly coming to Melbourne to the MCG and watching me have a run. So I knew how much he loved that, and I wanted to, you know, go out there and play well for him, and you know, put on a good show for him. And that embrace after the game with Danny, he just came up to me and he knew how hard it was for me that week to get up and play, and just told me how proud he was of me, and you know how much he loved and cared for me. So he's an amazing man.
Thanks, Andrew, for your reminiscence this morning. I can promise you, mate, that when the time came where you came to Collingwood, that Danny would ring almost on a weekly basis to check how you're going, just to see how things were, and if there was anything that needed to be happened. He did, mate. He loved you and cared for you as he did so many of his friends and people that he didn't even really know. But, Andrew, thank you so much for sharing that story with us this morning, mate.
No, my pleasure, Ed. It's, you know, just thinking about it yesterday, once I heard the news, you know, unfortunately it wasn't confirmed just yet, and once I heard it, my stomach dropped, and, you know, and then once it did come through, it was absolutely shattering, and, you know, my thoughts and prayers and strength go out to Danny's family and friends and his daughters and family, wife Anita, Chelsea, Keely and Danielle. My thoughts and prayers go out with everyone.
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
The Triple M footy team always kept an eye on anyone who may be getting ahead of themselves, and in 2014, attention turned to Spud and his cosmetic improvement.
I take no joy in what I'm about to reveal. But I have a commitment to hundreds of thousands of Saturday Rub fans to ensure that they remain informed regardless of the consequences of my actions. And make no mistake, my safety will be compromised as a result of the findings of a week-long investigation that has confirmed, albeit to my personal dismay, a situation that remains hard for me to digest and comprehend.
That sounds it could be me. It's physical.
The Triple M Saturday team is the tightest-knit team in the history of football media.
Yes, that's true.
Lou, Jack and Bob may have appeared to many as a united group, but they have nothing on this group. We share everything together.
Yes.
Our successes, our triumphs are celebrated with an understated modesty that embarrasses our competitors. How can they be so self-deprecating in the face of such achievements, they ask themselves. I have been moved to ponder the same baffling question. On the rare occasion when one of us fails to live up to the extraordinary high standards that we demand of each other, we resist the temptation to revel in the failures of one of our own, and instead we gather ourselves around them and wrap the symbolic Triple M wings.
That's a beautiful prize,
highlighted by our logo and Dr. Dan around them, and offer nothing but encouraging words and heart-wrenching empathy until they are able to dust off the stench of failure and rejoin the team. Albeit at the bottom of the peer ladder of respect. On this occasion, I can offer no such support.
Oh, no.
Oh, oh, gee.
Over the years, we have been prepared to deal with the hand that God has provided us.
Here's the preamble.
Warrior is as blind as batshit and can't see past his nose. But he nobly accepts he has to front up in public with a pair of Coke bottles strapped to his face just to get through the day. Jim has to exist in a world where those that he works with have been required to chisel frames of granite over the journey. I am no exception.
Please.
How difficult it must be for him to front up each week with a sunken chest and arms of cotton. But he does, regardless of his physical sense of inferiority.
Oh, no.
And yes, trimming up the body hair with a whippersnipper before I start each day is not a pleasurable experience. But it's something I must do if I'm not to be herded up and dumped into the gorilla cage at the Melbourne Zoo.
This is not good.
Which leads me to Spud.
Oh, no.
The rugged son of a Bungaree potato farmer whose brothers, brothers-in-law, cousins and nephews, whilst never challenging for the cover of GQ magazine, remain comfortable in their own skin.
Yes.
When they look in the mirror, they have no choice but to play the hand they were dealt. And the great Spud Regis himself has been withering in his contempt for anyone that would dare try and alter the course the good Lord has provided by means other than hard work and good fortune.
Where's this going?
It's a big build. Still
I'm normally, he I'm refuses to even acknowledge that anyone may go down the hair hat path. Live with it, you conceited fool, was his response. Spray tans on males, would never talk to that person again.
Yes.
But he reserved his most vicious and derisive comments for those that elected to go down the dental enhancement path.
Oh, no.
Now I'm on it.
His disdain and contempt for our great friend Tony Jones has been bordering on slanderous and disparaging in such a way that I feared it covered up a more sinister subplot.
Oh, no.
That subplot can be revealed today.
No.
Danny Frawley, the humble, self-effacing country boy whose whole public image is based on the knockabout larrigan that would rather walk a greyhound with his great mate Plugger than go to a cosmetic shop with Michael Roberts, has succumbed to the lure of self-appeasement. In one of the most extraordinary about faces in recent history, Spud is now to be known as Chomper Frawley.
Oh, shit!
Bullshit!
Spud!
Chomp!
That's Chomp. Right. I have!
The very thing Spud. That you killed Tony Jones.
And we were warning about for as long as I can remember now sits proudly inside his puffer lips. Gleaming like the sun on a Caribbean beach.
No. I'll have one.
Spud. Chomp.
I'll tell you what happened.
Oh, no. Bud's head is chompers done.
I've had one. No. You're going to hear me out.
Oh, no, Bud.
I had to.
The conceited when path Spud? Of getting the chompers done.
About 6 weeks ago, I had one tooth done, right? 6 weeks ago. Because, for any listener out there, I had an infected root.
Oh, no.
So they took the root filling out, and this is a tooth I got knocked out of the Witchy Proof pub.
I cannot believe
it. 17.
Go on, Chomp.
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
In 2010, Spud reflected on the privilege of being with the great EJ Witten during his last State of Origin game.
It was an amazing day, that come from a little town of Bungaree, and you just grew up watching the winners, and you saw the great EJ Witten, you know, playing for the Bulldogs, and then lucky enough to play a couple of state games. And yeah, that day at the MCG is something that I'll never forget. And as I said, I only played a small part, very small part, but just to be involved in that day was absolutely electric.
Oh, you played a massive part, Spud, and that image, that to me is the greatest image that I've got of AFL football, is watching you alongside the great EJ, and he'd lost his sight. So when everyone was coming up and Plugger was playing that day, and I think it was one of the great Victorian teams that had been
Gary
put out.
Ablett, they're all
Gary
there.
Ablett, all the stars, and Danny, I think you were injured, and you were actually, because he couldn't see, telling him who was coming up. Was that the story?
Yeah, it was, Darcy. He didn't want to let the players know. That was the pride in the great EJ, that he didn't want to let the players that they knew he was obviously suffering a grave illness, but he didn't want to let them know he's blind. That was the mark of the man. And as you said, I'd sort of whisper to EJ's in his ear that Plugger was coming over, and then Tony would look at him and say, "You all right?" And EJ would say, "Don't worry about me. You go and play goals." You said Ablett, Gary Lyon, you know, Jim Stein, Steve Silvani, Brett Ratton. And of course, as you know, Darcy, when you play your first game, you got a couple of youngsters there in Koutafidis, I think, and a few of the younger boys. And really, it was an amazing day. And in the corner of my eye, I said, "Curly's here." And with that, the great man, as you know, I think it was about 2 months basically to the day that he died on that particular day, he just rose out of himself and jumped about 2 foot off the ground. And I won't completely say what he said on air, but he said, "Who in the bloody hell let him in?" And I said, no, it's Curly Austin, Rod Curly Austin, the coach. He thought it was Neil Curly, his adversary from South Australia. And he couldn't work out how a South Australian got in the Victorian rooms. But once he found out it was Curly Austin, he come down in amongst himself. But yeah, his great his son, EJ Witten Jr., was there, and Don. It was a great day for all Victorians, and I suppose, as you said, 15 years to the day. He's probably a great example to make every day count.
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
On grand final day each year, Spud would give out his Head Wobbler of the Year award, also known as the Golden Trumpet. In 2016, he gave it to one of Triple M footy's own.
This guy...
Clear cut number one.
Clear cut. I just want to... This has been his year and a couple of his iconic efforts, but... Look, Bulldogs are in the grand final, and some people, because they play there, they start making them about themselves. Now, I saw this thing on Channel 7 last night, and it was about the Bulldogs. Luke Darcy emceed it compared it. It was all about him.
Oh, no.
No one gives a stuff, Darcy. We want to know what Jake Stringer does, and Lukey Dalhouse, and young
Marcus
Lockie
Bontempelli.
Bontempelli.
Well, he had a double page spread in last week's paper saying that I was the only one that thought of Luke Beveridge.
Yeah.
So I went and recruited him.
I wouldn't be part of the subcommittee to choose a coach unless I can get him.
I will not be on the board to choose him unless he is the coach.
And this is the same guy, Brian, that gets a chopper from here to the Witten Oval. It takes 15 minutes to drive.
Hadn't been there for 15 years since he retired.
Gets a
so
chopper.
So he turns up this week to have his input into
in
the
a chopper.
Selection. Yeah. Chopper.
And I mean, then, when it's cold, when it's below 14 degrees Celsius, wears leather gloves on the boundary line. This is a big, strong, tough ruckman, Brian. Now, He went to the Olympics, and as we know, it was great to see the Olympics. We didn't want to know about Darce, but have a listen to some of his name dropping.
We started at an Adidas party. So Channel 7 have got a lot of their partners over here. So Big Gil McLaughlin, the AFL-CEO, is in town. And Gil dropped by with Miles Rose from Swimming Australia and Adam Hilton, who runs all the Swiss advertising. Oh. Come from having a few drinks. This is literally what Gil had been doing. He had a few drinks with Kerry Stokes and Gina Reinhardt. So I was out at Paco Olympico, and I was talking to an IOC member. Mark Beretta turned up from Channel 7 Sunrise with his camera and his crew. I'm waiting for Beretta to pull rank and ring the big boss, Kerry Stokes. Bolt finishes, wins the race. His first move is about a metre away from me. I've got to show you a photo. I've got to reach down and put my hand and touched him on the shoulder, and I bump into Nick Green. And I was on Ipanema Beach today.
So I'm going to go through them.
Yep.
So Gillan McLaughlin, some miles wanker from the swimming. Adam, Kerry Stokes, Reinhardt, Beretta, Stokes a second time, Usain Bolt, and Nick Green. All that was just one interview.
Yeah. One conversation.
Yeah.
And he's turned into a flock, let's face it. And not only that, this is iconic, Darce. Have a listen to this.
Say that again.
Now, I just need to understand, Darce, that we actually highlighted that after the Dean Robinson interview with Darce, and it was hard-hitting.
Yes.
We took the other tact about when he had the big mud flap on the back of his head and he turned and said,
say that again. say
that again.
Just
listen to it again. You just got to listen to it one more time.
Say that again.
You're a real bonehead now, Darce.
Real slapper.
Now, last week, this is what got him over the line, Duck. Last week, you've got to be impartial as a commentator, don't you, Brian? But regardless if you're deep down buried with someone, have a listen to his call last week at Skoda Stadium when they beat GWS.
I've been wanting to say this for as long as I can remember. The Bulldogs go through to a grand final. Can you believe it? The siren will sound. 55-year drought ended. The Dogs are in the grand final.
Mate, he had tears running down his eyes. Now, you watch that on Channel 7, and the kids in 5 years' time say, why is he crying? Mm. And they'll say, well, he barracks to the Bulldogs. I think you've got to be a professional. And I couldn't give a...
You cried a minute ago when you walked into the...
Mate, it's time as Robbie Murphy in the parade yesterday next to Luke Beveridge.
You cried in the first game when I was...
It's not about me, mate. This guy has turned into a real tool bag, mate. He walks his little puppy dogs down the and has a little latte with his wife, and he's turned into a real wanker. Old Darce, mate, he wins it hands down. There's no argument. Where's the trumpet? Well, I've got it here somewhere. You guys just... it's here.
Right, come
here
on.
We go. This is for you, Mudflaphead. Darce, I hope the Bullies win today, mate, but it's not about you.
You can't be doing that. That's for you, Darce,
you wanker.
Oh, no.
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
As a St Kilda football champion, we always thought Spud would have to have been named in their team of the century. But in 2008, we discovered the truth.
I was doing some homework. This is just a little side topic today, doing some homework. Spud Regis.
Yes.
Nip, nip. St Kilda team of the century?
Yes. Yep, fullback.
No. Not in it.
No.
I've been introducing this Spud for years at Sportsman's Nights, introducing his team of the century vice-captain.
Has to be.
I had a look the other day. He's not in it.
It has to be.
I was writing something today about Danny Frawley, and I thought, I wanted to check the longest-serving captain. I went to the AFL encyclopedia.
Of which he is there, I think.
And he's in the AFL encyclopedia, but no mention, so I thought, maybe it's in the AFL 08 book. And I went to the AFL 08 book, Chief, St Kilda team of the century. No Spud Regal.
JB, I have been introducing Spud at Sports Nights.
Vice-captain, you call him.
Vice-captain of the St Kilda team.
I've been saying fullback of the team.
And why hasn't he said anything?
And the worst thing is,
he has sat there and let me introduce at least 100 different times and has never said, BT.
I think you announce him on here as the...
I do.
And he's never pulled you up.
I tell you what, I'm backing him that he's in it. He mightn't be a fullback. He's got to be in the team.
I looked on the bench.
I did it today only hours ago.
Who is fullback if it's not Spud?
Burden Howe.
Oh, no. Well,
surely he's on the bench or a back pocket.
No, I am going to back him to be in it somewhere. I cannot believe he's
not. Didn't make it, Spud.
Now,
don't be so happy, Brian.
He was also filthy, didn't he? Miss out on the Ballarat, wherever he played.
Yeah, the Bungaree.
Bungaree, that's it.
Didn't get in their team of the century either. His brother, Tony, Charge Frawley, got in at fullback.
So he's pretty much been snubbed everywhere.
He's not in any of the centuries.
He's not even part of the century, apparently. But, we've got him, have we?
No. Spud Regis.
Yes, boys. Oh.
We need to run something by you, Spud, because I have just had it brought up, and I am defending you vehemently here against the odds because Gary's got the Oracle in his lap. He has come to the table and said that there's no D. Frawley in the St. Kilda team of the century, not only not at fullback, not on the bench, nowhere. I said, that can't be true.
I'm not in it, mate.
Oh, no.
Oh, Spud Regal. I was writing something on you today, Spud, and I went to my research book just to make sure that what Brian has been saying for 5 years is right. I couldn't see your name, and I've come in here outraged, and you're telling us you're not in it.
Well, these boys have to do their homework, mate. I just sat there and I thought, well, they're not going to do the homework, and it's taking you to come up with the truth.
But I have introduced you 500 times to about a 300 different variety type crowds over recent years, and I always had you as the vice captain of the St Kilda, the team of the century. We were doing the Win TV of Country Victoria for the last 3 years in a row to the corporates.
I was actually on the selection committee, believe it or not, of the team of the century, and I kindly made sure that I basically couldn't vote for myself, so I said, boys, well, I'm out of it.
Spud Regis, for the last 18 months on this station, I'm talking over the last three seasons, Danny Frawley, St Kilda fullback of the century, I've been giving it. Any danger of tapping me on the shoulder, Spud?
Thinking, well, when are these boys going to tell the truth?
Any danger of you tapping me on the shoulder and saying, Jim, he's up on the team of the century?
Jim, what do you reckon about the Verdon Howe family? How do you think they feel? What are they doing?
Touch a wobble about it.
It's not at all. You've just done your homework, Big Brian.
Oh, we're shattered down the front here.
Will I be able to give you the big razz at the start. And it'll just be St Kilda player, Danny Frawley.
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
As a St Kilda legend, Danny Frawley touched the lives of a number of people. His teammate Michael Roberts shares his favourite memories of Spud on Triple M's Hot Breakfast.
What was it like in those days, the city boys and the country boys?
Well, half our team came from Ballarat. So Graham Jelly ended up coaching at St Kilda. So he's another one.
Mick Malthouse in the old days?
The names just from all. So we played our practice games up there. A lot of pubs in Ballarat. And
including the Cattle Yard Hotel, exactly. Which was Plugger Senior's pub.
So it was a lot of their birthdays went to Plugger's 21st, Spud's birthdays. And as we spoke about last night, Luke, the fact that the Tudnams came from there, the McGuans and the Frawleys, they were all around that area. Unbelievable memories.
And Robert, you're just describing Bungaree, the famous Bungaree, yep. The seventh generation of Spud farmers from Island are the Frawleys and the McGuans and the Tudnams as well. But Spud, they're a big family, the Frawleys, and he grew up. His brother Charger has been a big force in Northern Territory football. They're a pretty interesting family, the Frawleys.
It is. He was so honoured to be a Ballarat Bungaree bloke. I remember going up having a cup of tea with his parents. He loved his parents. And they lived in his bedroom was a shoebox. And the three brothers used to live like side by side in the bed. You couldn't even get down the sides to make it, Ed. The beds were never made for about 20 years. And he had a space the size of a telephone box to hang two pairs of jeans and a pair of overalls.
Well,
but he was wrapped that he actually spent his whole life with his brothers in a telephone box, seriously.
One of the things that people have picked up a little bit on, he was a fine athlete. He was a great endurance runner. He was tough and he was skillful, but he made the most of everything he had. But he was a great athlete.
Yeah. And he came from a family. I think his father could have run stall or one of the qualifiers. I know his brothers were really quick, really quick. And Spud was quick. And then when we retired, we got on the bike. We rode bikes seriously in the mornings for five years.
Eric Banner, Paul Tudnam.
Paul Tudnam. And then that linked him with a couple of other blokes. And when Nick Revolt and a few of those guys actually finished their career, they jumped on the bike. It was all influenced by Spud because he was such a leader.
So tell me, you were a senior player when Spud came into the St Kilda family. What was he like as a young bloke coming in? And when did he assert himself? Because he basically, for two-thirds or three-quarters of his career, was captain of the club.
He took over, Ed. He was an unmade bed. Seriously, he was so messy where Barks was so groomed. But he ran that whole mob. Him and Plugger were unbelievable. The fact that sometimes they didn't even get to training. I remember they used to pinch lettuces from an orchard from this old farmer who came out with a salt gun and trying to shoot them. There's a thousand of those. So, to have Plugger and to have Frawley at such a young age, played 4 or 5 years with them, we physically had to hold Plugger's hand and take him down the race in his first game because he was petrified to go out there in his first game once he got out there.
He got over it pretty quickly.
He terrified a few others after that.
He ripped in him. But Spud was always pushing Plugger, though, always pushing him.
Triple M pays tribute to our mate, Danny Frawley.
Even though everyone at Triple M footy was often in the media on other forms, sometimes they had to be pulled up for their performance.
I'm going to have to bring something forward. Warrior, the paper today had you saying that one of your strengths as a player, and we're going to go out.
Oh, are we doing it now?
We can do it now.
We might as well do it now.
I'm going to have to.
Preparation
is everything.
We were holding this off till later in the show because it's explosive. But
it's become far more relevant given what you've just told us.
So give us a backstory here, Pep.
Be careful, Warrior. I don't mind these two getting involved. You be careful.
Greg Ball, the best writer in Melbourne, maybe Australia, wrote a story headline, For Bitter or Worse, True Blues Press On, talking about the struggles of playing in a bad team when you're a good player. Very nice quotes from Wayne Campbell. And then we wade a little bit deeper into this beautifully prosed article from Greg Ball. He gets to Danny Frawley. Danny Frawley agrees. There's a couple of quotes here. Sometimes it's harder to play well in a struggling team. Even now, I look at good players in losing teams like Simpson and Carrazzo. And I think how well those guys compete even as their teams keep losing, which is all firm, Noel. But
There's a heap to come in the next little bit here. This is the one.
One thing I couldn't afford to do was play to the scoreboard.
I could play
only to the next contest. If I was going to be beaten, I would never be defeated mentally.
Smart.
There's seven eyes in three paragraphs.
Seven eyes in two sentences. Smart.
It's all about me.
No, it wasn't.
Me.
It's not about saying me. Greg, it's about...
Smart.
I got
Let me just say this. What that reminded us of in this room was the only eye that mattered. No one cares,
but... Me.
Danny, it's Greg Baum here. Can I speak to you about Kate Simpson?
Yes, what do you want to know?
Yes, Greg, I'll give you some quotes if I can make it about me.
Thanks, Spud.
I was doing some of my best work then.
Mate, we'll miss you.